And if you would, please turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs, chapter 2. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 9. Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path." The book which is before us and what we're reading from is written by Solomon. Now, these are his words of wisdom. And this book is full of tidbits of advice and nuggets of knowledge and pickings of prudence. Chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 4 speaks of his purpose. Turn back a page. "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion." And if you look over into chapter 4, verse 1 down through verse 10, exhorts a similar exhortation to that which we find within our passage. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Now go back to chapter 2. So what we find is that King Solomon was a man who valued wisdom. And he, and valuing that wisdom, shares some of his thoughts. I said some because, according to 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. By the way, our Bible only contains one of those, the Song of Solomon. But he wrote 1,005 songs and 3,000 proverbs. So we just have some of them. I also said that he valued wisdom. And why do I say that? Well, it's because when he began to reign over Israel, God came to him in a dream and offered him one request. And Solomon chose wisdom. Listen, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. I quote, "And God said to Solomon, Because this was thine in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any like thee have after thee have the like." And so Proverbs then is a book of wisdom. And I submit unto you that we all should be interested in wisdom. We should want to be wise. And when we think about wisdom, I think it's wise to consider James chapter 1 and verse 5, where it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Yet is wisdom a priority to us? Well, it should be. And I submit that we should ask, how may I be wise? Where shall I find wisdom? How diligent should I be to obtain wisdom? My friends, the answers to these questions are found in our text. It is then my objective to review our passage, learning about wisdom and then yearning to receive wisdom. So I want to speak to you out of Proverbs chapter 2, a message which I've entitled, Seek After Wisdom. And may that be our heart today. Father, thank you. We ask that you would bless our time together. And Lord, help us as we look into your word. We do pray that you would grant us wisdom, that we might be able to respond well in the circumstances of life, but that we might serve you well and be found faithful in all things. And we pray for those that are lost, that they might know the wisdom that comes from you, that they might understand you and the salvation which you provided in Christ Jesus. And so, God, all of us are in need today, and we ask that you would bless. So we ask that you would be honored as we share the word today and meet every need of every heart. And we ask you to save the lost and strengthen the saved. And we commit this time to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about seeking wisdom today. And the first thing I would like to point out to you is in verse 1, down through verse 4, or 2 rather, that is, take my advice. That's what Solomon's saying. Take my advice. Verse 1 and verse 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And I know I'm stopping in the middle of the sentence, but look what you find here. He's just saying, take my advice, if thou wilt receive my words. Now what we find in these two verses, there are four verbs that are being mentioned here. The first one is this: you need to receive my words. And what I think he is saying is, don't be quick to discard what he says. You know, I found that to be true, whether it's with my own children on occasion or with people in the workplace or in the community, sometimes even in the church. You might be expressing a truth, you might be giving great wisdom, but you're just overlooked. You're just dismissed right away. I mean, we're not going to listen. By the way, have you ever gone through that in your youth where you just knew everything? I remember when I was young, I looked at my parents, I thought my dad knew everything. And then when I got older, I found out that he didn't know everything. But at that point, I was thinking I knew everything. Which the bad thing about that was, is I didn't think I knew everything. So, but I was projecting that. And I remember coming home from college the first year, and in the summer, my brother-in-law looked at me and he says, man, I could just smack you in the face. And he says, you just think you know everything. And I didn't know I was projecting that. Well, I've since learned I don't know everything, but you know, haven't you gone through that? You just kind of think you have all the answers. You won't listen to anybody. And your response is, well, I know. You know, well, you don't know everything. You ought to listen and take heed. And that's what Solomon is saying. You need to receive my words. Don't be quick to discard. You're going to have to be a participant in what's being said. Don't turn a deaf ear. Just because it comes from mom and dad, you young people, just because it comes from us, don't just say, oh, well, they don't know what they're talking about. We've been there and done most of that. So you know what? Learn from us. Grow from us. And don't turn a deaf ear. When the teacher speaks, listen. You know, when the preacher speaks, I hope you listen. Don't turn a deaf ear. If thou wilt receive my words. The second thing is found in verse 1. And hide my commandments with thee. And so receive it. Hide it. Take my advice, he's saying. Make these jewels of wisdom a part of you. Know them. Understand them. Desire to respond to them. He says, receive my words and hide my commandments. You say, well, what do you mean by that word hide? Does that mean just stick it off in the corner and so nobody can find it? No, not at all. Put it into your heart. The same word is used over in Psalm 119:11, where it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And it's just not a simple memorization. It's a putting into your heart so that you can respond to it. And so Solomon writes and he says, you need to receive my words. You need to hide my words. Verse 2 gives us the third verb that is mentioned here. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. So let your ear hear it. Incline to it. Let it be what you listen to. And I know there are many voices in the world, and there's the siren songs which will draw you unto the rocks of death if you allow them to. Be very careful, especially as Christians, because the world will draw you away. Now, what will happen is, as Christians, we'll just go through and we don't take these things seriously, and we'll listen to this person and that counselor and this professor and all that. And if you're not careful, you'll be led away from God. You need to be seeking after the things of God and the wisdom that comes from God. And so he says, incline your ear, but just not to hear it. Well, you have to make it available, though, don't you? Incline your ear. You're here today because what you want to hear, the Word of God. You want to fellowship with God's people. You want to worship God today. But you get to hear the Word of God. Incline your ear. And so as you incline your ear, set your affection upon it. And that really is the expression of Psalm 119:11 about having hid that Word in your heart. He said, that I might not sin against thee, I hide it. I set my affection upon it. Not just to hear it, to know it, but to respond to it. Some people want to know the Word of God just to try to decide whether they want to pursue it or not. That's a mistake. You need to know the Word of God so that you can pursue it. You want to know God's will so that you can obey. And so Solomon writes and he says, you need to receive my words and you need to hide my words and you need to incline your ear. But then you'll notice that fourth verb in verse 2, and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, that word apply there is an interesting Hebrew word because the word actually means to stretch. And there's many applications of this term that's found in the Old Testament scriptures. But it's the idea to pitch a tent. And so I would submit unto you that this word apply means to spread your tent over, as it were. Stretch your heart over it. Make it a part of you. And so we use that word apply in English, and we might look to someone and say, apply yourself. You look at a student, you need to apply yourself. You look at an athlete, you need to apply yourself. Sometimes this manager or the supervisor might call you in and say, you know what, you're a good worker, but you know what, you could be better. You need to apply yourself. And we know what that means, don't we? Can we be a better student? Most likely. Can we be a better worker? Most likely. Can we be a better athlete? Most likely. We need to apply ourselves. And as we go through this life, we need to apply ourselves to wisdom. We need to. Can we increase in wisdom? Yes, and we should. And we ought to desire it. And so Solomon says, take my advice. Now, one other thing before we leave these two verses, and that is I want to make mention to you, in the latter part of verse 1, he uses the word commandments. And I don't want any confusion here because we read a part of it in chapter 4, a little bit of that discussion. But here he says, hide my commandments with thee. Now, he's not suggesting that what he has to say exceeds the Ten Commandments, or that he's adding to the Ten Commandments or taking away from them. Really, Solomon is just using the word in regard to the direction that he is offering them, the advice that he is giving, the words of wisdom. In fact, in the first part of verse 1, he says, if you'll receive my words, these items of wisdom are good for you. Take them as a commandment. Respond to them. Make application. You'll be better off if you do. But don't get confused and say, well, commandments he's talking about. No, it's just simple. His words that he's speaking. And I'll tell you, you can learn a lot from Proverbs. I had this suggestion many years ago that was given to me. And when I was in college, they said, what you ought to do is you ought to read the chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. And that way you can read it through in a month. And if you do that, and you just keep... Why? Because there's so much wisdom in Proverbs. And it would be helpful for you. Now, I don't do that. But it would be helpful if you did. So, take my advice. Read the book of Proverbs. But I read my Bible daily anyway. I keep with it. I stay on it. But don't ignore the Proverbs. You can learn a lot out of Proverbs. And so, apply your heart to that. And you know what? You'll be better off if you do. Can't you increase in knowledge and understanding? I believe that you can. I know that I can. And so let us learn from the passage today. Solomon says, take my advice, verse 1 and verse 2. Then verse 3, he says, seek out wisdom. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Seek out wisdom. Two things in this verse. Very simple, isn't it? Cry after knowledge. That word cry means to call out. And it specifically means to address by name. I mean, it's just not a general thing. It's a specific content. And it's like calling someone by name. You're going to get in a crowded place and go, hey, you. Everybody will turn around and look. You'll say, hey, Steve, or hey, John, or something like that. And so, call by name. Cry out. Yea, criest after knowledge. And lift up your voice to understanding. Now, I get out of this that both of these indicate a prayer. We ought to be praying for wisdom. Well, that's a simple verse, isn't it? Very quick, very brief. But he says, my son, take my advice, and you need to pray about wisdom. You need to ask God for wisdom. That's really what verse 3 is. So seek out wisdom. And then verse 4, notice that you ought to pursue with priority. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's a priority. There's an emphasis here upon seeking after wisdom. Now, the word seekest here at the beginning of verse 4 actually means to search out. It is to search really by any method, but specifically through worship and prayer. And so this word, by implication, it is to strive after, but it's often translated in the Old Testament scriptures as to seek or to ask, to beg, to inquire, to beseech. It's the matter of prayer. Verse 3 talks about lift up your heart, cry. And then he says, seek us after that. And so he still continues the thought on prayer and seeking after it. And then the second word in verse 4 is searches. That just word means to seek, and it implies a diligent seeking with that. And so pursue. And so it is to seek after, to pursue it. Now, how should we do that? Do you care about wisdom? Do you have any concern for it? You ought to. You ought to want to know. Not that we can know everything in this world. I don't think we're going to. But it's all right to learn. It's all right to have some understanding. It's okay to have some knowledge. And I'm not of some who say, well, you don't need education. And if you're a preacher, you know, God will just lead you. Don't worry about school. I think that's a mistake. We all can be educated. We all can learn. We can all grow. And Solomon says here that you need to seek it. And how should you seek it? You seek it her as silver, and you search for her as for hid treasures. Seek and search for wisdom like you would money. Well, that kind of hits home because we all like money, don't we? Now, I know that people vary in that category, and that some people are a little bit more covetous than others, and others will strive after it more than other people will strive after it. And some make money their life goal, and they're going to do all they can to get all the wealth that they can. Well, the point is, we all like money. We all desire money. And so he makes that application. It was true then. It's true today. People seek after money. And so he says, you need to seek after wisdom. And how should you do it? Just like you would after money, or just like you would after a hidden treasure. You know, the New Testament expresses about if a guy finds a treasure hidden in the field, what's he do? He goes and sells everything so he can buy the field and get the treasure. I mean, it's a priority, isn't it? And so I would encourage you to take that illustration. And how is it that people seek after money? Well, I've just listed four brief things. One, I think they seek money with excitement. What, that lottery not too long ago where they had that great big jackpot and everything, all people were all excited, all abuzz. Oh, I might win $500 million. Well, you might not. You got a better chance of getting struck by lightning two or three times than you do to win that. But go for it if you want to waste your money. But they do it with excitement, don't they? Excited. You ever find money? Isn't it exciting to find money? I get a thrill out of it. I do. When I was running the streets, you know, not, that sounds bad. When I was jogging, exercising, and I was going down the street, there's been several times I'd find money laying in the gutter. I'd be running along, and I'd look down, and I'd see some green. I'd think, go back. Woo, look at that. Pick it up, pick it in my pocket, and off I go. One time I found 12 bucks. Another time I found a $5 bill. Once I found a dollar bill. Good enough, I'll put it in my pocket. I don't stop for change, though. I'll leave change lay. But don't you get excited with money? And so seek after wisdom like with an excitement, like you would for money. Seek after as you would with desire. Do you have a desire? I think you all desire to have money. Because you know that money is necessary in our society to have food, shelter, clothing, and do the things that we want, have pleasures and extras. And you like money, don't you? You desire it, don't you? Most people do. We ought to seek after, we ought to desire wisdom. We ought to have an excitement. And I believe we ought to have some diligence. And by the way, I think it's a good thing to work, and I think it's a good thing to work hard. I think you ought to earn a living. And just don't expect all the handouts and the entitlements. Earn a living. Work for it. And as long as God enables you to do it and provides a job, and many are looking for jobs in this society. Oh, I wish they were all available. A lot of people would love to work if they could. I tell you, have a diligence for it. When you get a job, work hard at it. That's what you should do for wisdom. Have some excitement. Have some desire. Have some diligence. And of course, the emphasis here is the matter of priority. Make it a priority to you. Problem is, what we see in our society is money's a priority and wisdom's chucked out the window. We need wisdom if we're going to earn money, and you want to have wisdom to respond to your life. So what we find, take my advice, he says, and then he says, seek after it, cry out for it, and pursue it with priority. It should be important to you. It should be important to me. Now then, verse 5, he says, if you do these things, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will increase personally. Then, this is what will happen. Notice the subjunctives in verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4. There are three of them. He says, verse 1, if thou wilt receive my words. And then you encompass 1 and 2. Verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice. Verse 4, if thou seekest her. So if you do these three things, then, he says, if then proposition, if then, if, verse 4, 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm just a bump on a log, I don't know anything, I can't learn anything, you know what? You're not doing the ifs. You want wisdom? Do the ifs. Follow after these things that you find in the first four verses. Then, he says, then you will understand, very clearly, he says, you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, two things are being brought out in this verse, verse 5. Understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. First of all, you need to understand the fear of God. And I'm thinking about maybe speaking on the fear of God next week. I'm not sure if I will or not, so don't hold me to it. But you need to understand the fear of the Lord. Go back to chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Is the fear of God important? Yes. And that's a reverence, respect, honor. Fear of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know what it says in Romans chapter 1? It says, they that speaketh themselves to be wise become fools. They're brilliant people. And we see it in our society. You see these guys, I mean, they're brilliant. They have more degrees after their name than a thermometer. I mean, they're educated and they're brilliant. But then they, well, there's no God and there's no creation and there's no this and there's no that. And they think that they're wise and they become fools. And what a waste of knowledge. Because they put God out of the scenario. And by the way, that's what our society is doing on every turn. They're taking God out of every equation. They're taking him out of schools. They're taking him out of business. They're taking him out of government. And just remove God. And you know what's going to happen when God is removed from all these places? You might have some educated people, but they're all fools. They're all fools. Now, he says here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you need to have fear of God. How are you going to get that? It's through the wisdom. How are you going to do that? You're going to fear God. Turn, if you would, to the book of Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Just a few verses talking about the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Fearing God is a foundation for understanding and knowledge. You say, but I can get all kinds of degrees without God. And it's going to be corrupted because you don't understand it properly. Make God a part of your knowledge, of your instruction. Turn, if you would, to the book of Job. Go back a few more pages. Job and the 28th chapter. What's written for us in verse 20? Job 28:20. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Good questions. Look down in verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Follow God, respond to Him. That's a wise thing to do. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Last verse is a reference here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes as well. And what's he say? And if you read Ecclesiastes, he talks about the disparity of life. And if you just look at it from one perspective, and from a human perspective, it's really can be a mess. And it's just vanity of vanity, he says. But then he comes to this conclusion at the end. And this is Ecclesiastes 12. I'm just trying to reinforce the idea that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You know what your responsibility is? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's my obligation. That's your obligation. It's every one of our responsibility to do that. Fear God and keep His commandments. So you go back to our text, Proverbs chapter 2. He says, "Then shalt thou understand fear of the Lord." And the second phrase, "and find the knowledge of God." I think you're going to have wisdom and knowledge, the kind which he possesses. How come Solomon was so wise? Because he says, "Man, I got this nation of Israel. I've got to judge them. I've got to lead them, and I don't know very much. God, give me wisdom." And God gave him all sorts of wisdom. He'd speak about the trees and the birds and the animals and the sky and the stars. Solomon had so much knowledge. You know why it was? Why? Because God gave him wisdom. More than just what he needed to judge the people. People come from all across the world to hear Solomon and to talk to him and ask him questions. Because he had understanding of so many things. And so he says, I'm not saying that you're going to do this and all of a sudden you're going to be as brilliant as Solomon. We already read in the scriptures that no one will ever follow him in his steps. No one will be exactly like him. But there's no reason for us to be ignorant. We can seek after God and seek His wisdom. And you know what? God will give us understanding. When I was in college, we had prayer because I went to Christian college. I went to Christian seminary and all that. And you know, we had prayer before class. That's a good thing. And you know, when I sat down to take a test, I invariably, before I started the test, everybody else got their paper and they start writing their name and start going down there. When I got my test, I'd sit on my desk and I'd pray. "God, you know I studied." I could only do that if I did study. But "God, you know I studied. Bring it to memory. Help me to recall. Help me to do well." Because that's going to come from Him, isn't it? I mean, you can jam it up there and be forgetful as soon as you pick up the pen. You need recollection. And you know what? I believe that He says here that you'll not only have some understanding, but He says, and the fear of God, but you'll have knowledge of God. That which God knows, He'll impart to you. He'll give you some understanding, comprehension. When you go to work and you go to a meeting, instead of checking out of that meeting, say, "God, help me to glean what I'm supposed to glean from this so I can be a better employee. Let me be a better worker. Let me have knowledge about my job so that I can be the best worker I can be for you." I would encourage you to pray like that. But I would submit further when he says here in verse 5 to find the knowledge of God, not just the knowledge which God possesses, but also I think there's more to that, and that is you would know Him and know more of Him. The knowledge of God. And the more you know of God, the better off you are. And so I would encourage you to seek after God. And if you do, I think Solomon's saying you'll personally increase. That's verse 5. Our last verse is verse 6. Even though I read through verse 9, I'm stopping at verse 6. Now, notice verse 6. My last point is this. God will bless you. I think this is what Solomon's saying to him. "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." What do you find here? Will God bless you if you do this, if you do that, if you do this, if you seek after wisdom and desire it and all that? Will you receive it? I think you will. God will bless you. That tells me wisdom is available. We don't have to be ignorant all of our lives. We can learn something. We can learn about God, and we can learn about things in our society. We can learn about economics and finance, and we can learn about science and history. We can learn about those things if we want to pursue that. It just depends what your heart desire is. But it's there. Wisdom is available, isn't it? Christianity, the things of the Word of God, it's available. I hope none of you would say, "Well, I've been saved for 25 years and I really don't know anything more than I did when I was first saved." I hope you don't say that. Because if it is, it's an indictment against you. You've learned nothing. Oh, I hope that you desire to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, hear it preached, hear it taught, so that you might grow in the things of God and know something. Have some wisdom about God. Wisdom is available. I'm glad for that. And how is wisdom received? Notice in the text, the fear of the Lord, for the Lord giveth wisdom. The wisdom that any one of us has is a gift from God. Some are wiser than others. I understand that. Anything that I gain in wisdom is a gift from God. It's not because I'm brilliant or anything like that. God gives wisdom. So you want wisdom? Where are you going to get it? Who gives it? God does. God does. Therefore, from God comes, notice the last part of verse 6, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I think when he talks about out of His mouth cometh knowledge, I think that's a various sort of things. I mean, all sorts of knowledge comes from God. You want to know? Ask God to help you. Ask God to impart wisdom to you. And not only knowledge, but also understanding. An understanding of a variety of things. May we not only know, but we may also comprehend and understand and digest. Those things come from God. And I encourage you today to seek after wisdom. I also want to make it an emphasis before I come to my conclusion, and that is this. We have to keep in mind that wisdom will have a divine perspective. Why? Because wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God, and it begins with the fear of God and a knowledge of God. And so if you want to have proper wisdom, even in the things of this world, if you go to a secular university and sit under ungodly professors, you need to ask God to protect your heart, to guard you from their atheism and from their secularism, and you need to ask God to give you the truth of what's going on and to make that application so that you can be wise in that area, but not be sucked in on all the corruption that will be presented, especially in the secular universities. You want your wisdom to be divinely led and divinely guarded. So if you sit there, and we taught our children, we believe in creation. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And so we'd be watching the show, you know, and they'd have something on there, and they'll say, well, 500 billion years ago, and our kids would go, that's crazy. And that's exactly right. It is crazy. Do you know why? Because God says differently. And so wisdom will teach you. And so we want to apply all of our learning through the filter of God's Word and through God so that we might have godly wisdom and make an application to our life. So in conclusion, and so I see what Solomon is saying here. He's just seeking out advice and seeking out wisdom. That's what we need. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. And in my conclusion, I just want to recall again these verses. I made a comment about it right at the introduction. I'm asking you to turn to James chapter 1. I'll be done in just a moment. James chapter 1. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. Three things emanate from these verses as we try to sum up what we expressed out of Proverbs chapter 2. First of all, ask. Second, acknowledge. Third, have faith. So he says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Got trouble in the home? Don't know how to handle it? Ask God. Got trouble in the workplace? Don't know how to handle it? Ask God. Got financial difficulties? Don't know how to see the end of it? Ask God. Problems in the church? Ask God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I also said the word acknowledge. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will give wisdom. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, if you ask God for wisdom, God will give you wisdom if you'll ask Him. And so I say acknowledge because you know you need to know who it is from and how it is received. And it's received by faith. So verse 6, he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Have faith. Ask God to give you wisdom. Believe that He'll give you wisdom. Trust Him to give you wisdom. And of course, if you have to crack a book, you have to study, you have to memorize, then do that. But all wisdom comes from God. And Solomon says, seek after wisdom. And never forget, as we finish today, never forget this key phrase. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And some Christians stumble all their Christian life and have difficulty with making decisions and all that kind of thing because, you know what, as Christians, they're not fearing God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lost people, you need to understand, you know what, you're not fearing God. You can get knowledge of the world, but you're not getting a correct perspective of it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, lost person, you're here today, you're unsaved, you need to seek the Lord, you need to submit to the Lord, you need to fear Him and respond to Him so that you might have eternal life. Jesus alone is the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. And I urge you to repent, believe on Him that you might be saved. But you won't do that if you don't fear Him, if you won't submit. Surrender, yield to Him, would you? And Christian, you want godly wisdom? You know, I believe you do. I think you want it. Then seek after it. Make it a priority. You know what? This is the beginning of the year. Some of you may have said, I'm going to read my Bible through this year. That's a good resolution. Start on it. Stay with it. Stick with it. Maybe you can finish by the end of the year and start again. I encourage you, seek after wisdom. Be in the house of the Lord. Hear the Word of God preached. Hear it taught. Seek after wisdom. As a Christian, make God your focus as you pursue the things of life. Let Him be the filter. Ask Him for wisdom. And you know what? If you believe that God will give you wisdom, He will. Trust it. That's what the Word of God says. So whether you're lost or whether you're saved, there are challenges to you today. Sinner, would you be saved? Christian, would you seek after God for wisdom as well? Let's stand. Appreciate your patience. Brother Paul, would you please come? We'll sing a verse of invitation. The invitation simply is this, right where you stand, if you're under conviction, burdened of God, cry out to the Lord where you are that you might be saved. Yield to Him, submit your heart to Him, that He will give you eternal life. If you're saved, then whatever God's doing in your heart, right where you are, deal with Him there. Now, if you want to come, you're welcome to come. We'd be glad to pray with you. The key is you deal with God from your heart. And you can do that right there, or you can do it up here. We just want to help you resolve some issues with the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Father, bless your word. Give us grace and strength through it. We pray that you save the lost and bless your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?